Once a week, the runman pushed a cart of well-used paperback library books through F. Cellhouse. Greg Wilhoit read everything that was available. Biographies, mysteries, westerns. Stephen King was a favorite, but he really loved the books of John Steinbeck. He encouraged Ron to read as an escape, and they were soon debating the merits of The Grapes of Wrath and East of Eden, unusual conversations on the row. They stood for hours, leaning through the bars of their doors, talking and talking. Books, baseball, women, their trials. Both were surprised to learn that most death row inmates do not maintain their innocence. Instead, they tend to embellish their crimes when talking among themselves. Death was a constant topic. Murders, murder trials, murders yet to be committed. When Ron continued to claim he was innocent, Greg began to believe him. Every inmate has his trial transcript close by, and Greg read Ron's, all 2,000 pages. He was shocked by the trial in Ada. Ron read Greg's transcript and was equally shocked by his trial in Osage County. They believed each other and ignored the skepticism from their neighbors. In his early weeks on the row, the friendship was therapeutic for Ron. Someone finally believed him. Someone he could talk to for hours. Someone who would listen with an intelligent and sympathetic ear. Away from the cave-like cell in Ada, and able to unload on a friend, his behavior was stable. He didn't rant and pace and scream his innocence. The mood swings were not as dramatic. He slept a lot, read for hours, chain-smoked, and talked to Greg. They went to the exercise yard together, each watching the other's back. Annette sent more money, and Ron purchased a small television from the canteen. She knew how important a guitar was to Ronnie, and she relentlessly went about trying to get one. The canteen didn't stock them. After phone calls and letters, she convinced the officials to allow a local music store in McAllister to sell one and send it over. Trouble started when it arrived. Anxious to impress the others with his talent, Ron played it loudly and sang at full volume. The complaints came with a fury, but Ron didn't care. He loved his guitar and he loved to sing, especially Hank Williams. "Your cheatin' heart" echoed up and down the run. The others shouted obscenities. He shouted them right back. Then Soledad got fed up with Ron's music and threatened to kill him. "Who cares?" Ron said. "I've already got my death sentence." No effort was made to air condition F. Cellhouse, and when summer arrived, it baked like a sauna. The inmates stripped to their boxers and huddled in front of the small fans sold at the canteen. It was not unusual to wake up before dawn with the sheets soaked with sweat. A few spent the days completely nude. For some reason, the prison conducted tours of death row. The tourists were usually high school students whose parents and advisors were hoping to scare them away from crime. When the weather was hot, the guards ordered the inmates to get dressed. A tour was coming through. Some complied, others did not. An Indian named Buck Naked preferred the native look and was perpetually nude. He had the rare ability to pass gas on demand, and when the tour groups drew near, his favorite trick was to press his rear cheeks against the bars of his door and discharge a thunderous blast of flatulence. This shocked the young students and disrupted their tours. The guards told him to stop. He refused. His colleagues egged him on, but only during tours. The guards finally hauled him away when visitors arrived. Several others tried imitations, but lacked the talent. Ron just played and sang for the tourists.